spiritual warfare. One of the movies that I've been watching lately is the movie Star Wars. Any Star Wars fans in the house? For most of my life, I was not a Star Wars fan. I never watched it, didn't get into it. I don't know why, just kind of never did. As a kid, I think, you know, I watched a few of the movies, but I never really spent a lot of time getting into it. But recently, been watching a lot more of the Star Wars movies because we got the Disney Plus app. Thank God for Disney Plus app. And we needed a shift from Netflix. We did. So thank God for that. But I started watching some of these movies more often. I asked a friend of mine, and I said, you know, how should I watch them? Should I watch them, you know, release date, or do I watch, you know? And so he said, yeah, watch them to release date. That was just a suggestion. So I did that. And so I've already watched six of them, okay? So I still got a little ways to go, but me and my wife have already watched six of these movies. And we're not, you know, we watch movies, but it's just been kind of one of those things you kind of get into. And so we're watching this story unfold. And as that's happened, one of the things I can't help but to think about is the parallel between Star Wars and spiritual wars. And so that's why we titled the series Spirit Wars, because we just wanted to be cheesy and it made sense. But the movies are about, of course, this war that's happening in this galaxy land of far, far away, right? In other words, you can't see the Star Wars, but they're happening. Well, the same is true for spiritual wars. There is a spiritual war that exists that you and I can't see. And that's what this whole series is all about. When it comes to spiritual war or demons and angels and that kind of stuff. Now, this is where I want you to begin to take your pen out, follow along, start to write in some notes. People often make two mistakes, and we'll put them up on the screen. You can write these in. They overemphasize it, number one, or they underemphasize that, okay? So this is the part you just write over and under. I made it really easy for you, even highlighted it, okay? Everybody passes today. All right, so you can overemphasize it. Let's talk about churches or people or whatever, okay? We've seen people overemphasize spiritual war, okay? Here's the best example I can give this. A person literally cast out demons of everybody. Everyone has a demon, you know? My kid's a demon, you're a demon, we all have demons in us. You know, it's just like this insane, just overemphasizing demonic stuff. You know, they have a stomach pain. Now, they ate enchiladas. In fact, they ate about 9 enchiladas when they should have had 2. They had extra jalapenos on top, you know. They've got stomach pain and just bowel issues the next morning. And they're saying, Satan has cursed me. It's the devil, I know it. No, it was the enchiladas. You are overemphasizing it. Okay, does that make sense to you? Whatever the case is. So they can overemphasize it. They make it just, you know, this kind of thing. You walk into the church, maybe you've been in a church or something, come in, hey, come on in. We're going to pray for all of you to be set free of the demonic oppression. All of you are demon-possessed. You know, it's just these weird things. If you've never heard that in church, I've heard stuff like that. It just gets weird. So people can overemphasize it. They can. Also, at the same time, and I think most people probably follow here, though, really, is they underemphasize it. You know, they don't give it enough credit. They underemphasize it. They hear the terminology of demons and angels and spiritual war, and they're like, I really don't know. I mean, could be true. And then they just kind of go about their day, you know? And worry comes, anxiety comes, depression comes, you know, different stuff happens at jobs or health issues come, and all they think about is practical. You know, like, well, I'm not feeling good, so I'm going to go to the doctor. And they never consider the spiritual side to it. You know, they've got anxiety, worry, depression, and I'm going to go see a counselor. And they never consider a spiritual side to it. You know, there's things just aren't working out. A season in the home of strife, a season of in the marriage of strife, a tension. You know, it just seems like you can't get over a certain hump. And so I got to climb myself out of it, you know? And they never consider the spiritual side. What are they doing? Underemphasizing it. This is a reality. I think most people fall in this category, actually. I think most people probably underemphasize it, okay? These are two mistakes that people do often make. But when it comes to spiritual warfare, you can follow along, write this down. We shouldn't over or underemphasize it. But here's what I want you to know. We should emphasize it. We should emphasize it, though. It's not an over or under. It doesn't have to be extreme. Okay? Our kind of hope here is to help you find the middle ground, if you would, when it comes to spiritual warfare. So the next few weeks, and I really don't know how long this series is going to last. I've never, ever not had a plan, first of all. Like, I'm a planner for everything, and had this whole plan to do this marriage series, and God said, no, I want you to talk about spiritual warfare, and I don't know how long I'm going to teach on it. I'm just ready to be obedient to God and say, okay, God, I'll submit. I'll do 4 to 5, 6 weeks, but I need a plan, Lord, so unveil it, but we'll find out. But I'm just going to take it all the way until I feel like the Lord's saying, okay, you've been taught well about spiritual warfare. So we'll find out what happens. All right. All I do know is that God has placed this heavy in my heart, and we cannot ignore the reality of the spiritual wars that exist in a realm that we cannot see. So my hope today is simply that I want to make you aware of the war. I just want to make you aware of it. Hence the title, Be Aware. Okay, I don't know why I did that, but okay. I cannot unpack everything about spiritual warfare in one message. So my hope today is to simply make you aware of its reality. All I want you to do is be aware of it today. You're going to leave here with maybe more questions than answers that you got. Okay, that's okay with me. I get it. You're going to have lots of questions. You can send me emails if you want to. You can text me if you want to. You can come down front after service. I'll be right here and ask me questions, and I'll do my best to answer them. But the reality is I cannot teach about spiritual warfare, you know, and everything about it in the next, you know, 27 minutes. Like, it just can't happen, right? So all I want you to do today, though, is hopefully be aware. Okay. All right. So Paul, this guy who writes half the New Testament, wants a church in Ephesus to also be aware. And so he writes them a letter. In particular, parts of this letter, you'll notice if you read the whole letter, it's the book of Ephesians. It's really a lot about spiritual warfare. And he wants them to be aware of this war that's happening. And so again, his hope and my hope is that you'd just be aware of its reality. So to a church in Ephesus, Paul wanted to do the same thing. And he reminds the church in Ephesus to not lose sight on who their war is against. Like, you're in a war. I want you to know who you're fighting. So here's what Paul writes at the end of this letter in Ephesians 6:12. We'll put it up on the screen. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers. And this is really interesting. And authorities. And these powers of this dark world. And against the spiritual forces of evil. And then he says, in the heavenly realms. Paul wants the church to know you are in a fight. I just want you to consider for a moment, you are in the midst of a war. And if you don't see it, doesn't matter, it's happening. It's there. And there's this heavenly, notice he says, realm in which this war is happening. There's a battle in the heavenly realms. But before you can understand spiritual warfare, you have to first, Paul is suggesting, understand there is a spiritual realm. Heavenly realm comes from a Greek word, and it means a sphere of spiritual activities. That's what it is. The Greek word is spelled E-P-O-U-R-A-N-I-O-S, Eporanos, I believe, or Eporinos, maybe. The sphere of spiritual activities, heavenly realms. Now, Paul also gives several other verses throughout the book of Ephesians that kind of goes more in depth on this heavenly realms. I want to give you two of them, Ephesians 3:10 and Ephesians 1:19. Both of these are verses where he talks about this spiritual realm and what happens in this heavenly spiritual realm, if you would. So Ephesians 3:10, here's what he says. His intent, speaking about God, this is Paul writing, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers, there it is again, and the authorities, there it is again, in the heavenly realms. Go back to Ephesians 6:12 for just a second, if you would, just the slide back. So you're in a fight, you're in this war, this is Paul talking to this church in Ephesus, and I want you to know who's in this fear, who's in this realm. Well, our fight is not against flesh and blood. We're not trying to fight against one another. And maybe there's some arguing, maybe there's some gossip in the church, maybe there's some complaining in the church, but he says, our fight is not against each other. So when you feel offended by so-and-so and he's talking to so-and-so and they didn't shake your hand when you walked in and they didn't even smile at you and you didn't get a hug and how dare they? And I can't believe that church would say that. How could they possibly do that? Why would that pastor not call me? He didn't do nothing. Yes, we've all done these things. And, you know, I'm just going to get mad and bicker and complain and bicker and complain. What Paul is saying is your fight is not against one another. It's against these rulers and authorities and these powers of this dark world, in this heavenly realm, and this spiritual thing that's happening. Go back to Ephesians 3:10 for just a second, or go on to the next. So his intent, this is God, his whole purpose of this church was to gather people like this, that the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to who? To those rulers and authorities in those heavenly realms. In other words, this is a spiritual spirit war. There's a Star Wars up in the universe that we can't see somewhere around us. And there's these powers fighting against one another. Very similar to the movie in Star Wars. It's actually kind of crazy when you think about it. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I just want you to know that you got to listen on this. God is not part of a human world. Humans are a part of God's world. That's completely different. When you had children, they came into your world, right? You didn't enter that. You said, okay, they came in. So this is how we operate in this family. We sit at the dinner table. We never sit at the dinner table. That's not how we operate, you know. We talk a certain way. We say this and that. They came into your world. Humans have come into a spiritual world. God is not here for us. We are here for God. We're in his universe. He created it. And we were brought into it. Does that make sense? So Paul is letting this church know there's this heavenly realm. There's this fight that's happening. I'm going to continue on. Ephesians 1:19. Here's another verse in heavenly realms. It says, I also pray that you understand this incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Where is Christ seated? In the heavenly realms. It's important to know that heavenly realms can refer to both angelic and demonic activity. It refers to both. I just wanted you to see for a minute. There's these powers of this dark world, rulers and authorities, who exist in this heavenly realm. And then Ephesians 1 also says that Christ is seated in the place of honor, God's right hand, in the heavenly realm. So Christ is in the heavenly realm, demonic forces are in the heavenly realm, and both are at war in this heavenly realm. What I want you to see is that there is a spiritual realm that you and I cannot see. And in this realm, there's a battle between good angels and evil angels. You've heard it, angels or demons, right? Angels and demons. But all are angels, if you would. So the question that follows then is, does what happens in the spiritual have any effect on what happens in the physical? Like, does that whole war, if it's true, does it matter? And how does it affect us in our daily life? What role does it have? Well, the best example I can give is from Daniel 10. If you have your Bible, flip over to Daniel 10. If you didn't bring it because you just forgot it this one Sunday, we'll put it up on the screen, okay? Daniel 10, verse 12. Daniel 10 gives a good glimpse into what happens in this war that we cannot see. In Daniel 10, verses 1 through 11, if you were to read it, Daniel has been in prayer and fasting for 21 days. And at the end of the 21 days, Daniel receives a vision from God and an angel appears to him. And here is what the angel tells him. So he's in prayer, he's been in fasting. And during this 21-day prayer time, an angel shows up on day 21 or so, right towards the end of the day. And it says, the angel appears and it talks to Daniel. And this is what Daniel writes, right? It says, then he said, this is the angel, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request was heard in heaven. It's been heard. When you talk to God, he hears you. And he's been listening to you. And I just want you to know that I have come. Now, this is an angel appearing to Daniel. And Daniel's recording it. He's amazed by it. I've come in answer to your prayer. I came. I physically moved. I was in one location, and I've moved to another location. I have come in response to your prayer. But for 21 days, the same number of days that you were praying, the Spirit, lowercase s, prince, the spirit prince, not physical prince, a spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. I want you to notice this. There is a spirit in this text that we're reading who has been given a certain geography to be over. Kingdom of Persia, not kingdom of Florida, not kingdom of Texas, you know. It says, no, but this is the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. So there's a geographical area that this particular spirit is over, if you would. And it says, this spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, now this is an angel talking, he blocked my way. He was like, you can't, I don't know how it looked, but, you know, he's like, you can't go, you know. Maybe the Red Rover, I don't, you know, you can't come over, you know, I don't know. But he's like, he's blocking us. And he's tried to stop us. And we're trying to come to you in answer to your prayer. But there was this spiritual force that was preventing us from doing so. So then Michael, one of the archangels, okay, another angel, all right, came to help me. And I left him there with that spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, which is kind of sad. He's like, hey, thanks for helping, dude, but I got to go. All right, this is what happens. All right. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to you and your people in the future for this vision, concerns, and a time to come. Here's what I want you to see in this whole thing. There's this battle between angels and angels. Of good angels, angels of evil. And they are at war. And when you pray, I want you to consider this, just be aware of it, that you release angels in heaven. He said, from the moment you started to pray, I was given an assignment. And the reason the answer wasn't coming after day three was because an evil force was trying to prevent it. But because you stayed steady, because you stood firm, because you kept praying, I kept fighting. And eventually the breakthrough happened and Michael showed up. And Michael's a big dude. And the little demon got afraid. And then he was so big, I could say, you take it, Michael. I've got to go help my buddy out named Daniel. I don't know if that's, but that's how it went, you know. Because Michael seems to be big to me. He's an archangel. You know, it's like, he's a little bigger. He's got a special title to him. Does that make sense to you? Have you ever thought about when you pray, you're releasing angels in heaven? Most people don't know. I just, Lord, give me the job. No. You can release an angel in heaven to come and fight on your behalf. Why aren't we getting this breakthrough? Because there's a demonic force that's trying to stop it. There's this whole spirit war that's occurring around us. The angel tells Daniel, when you prayed, an assignment was given to me in heaven to come to you, but demonic and angel, there's this demonic force, this evil force, evil angel, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, got in my way, and we battled for 21 days while you were praying. And then my backup came. I want you to notice, angels and humans, this is what the text shows us, angels and humans are involved together in a war which spans earth and heaven. Humans and angels come together, the church, to reveal the manifold wisdom of God to these rulers and authorities in these dark places of who God is, his power and his glory. We are in a battlefield amongst angels, fighting other angels. It's this amazing truth that a lot of people miss. So, does what happens in the spiritual effect what happens in the physical? Read the text. In fact, read lots of different texts. The answer, of course, is yes. Truth is, the physical realm is influenced by what happens in the spiritual realm. But I want you to notice, I'm not saying everything, okay? If you ate too many tacos, if you had too many enchiladas, I'm not blaming that on the devil. You just were dumb and you had too many tacos, okay? You just ate too much, you know? Whatever. I don't mean to call you dumb, but, you know, sometimes we're dumb. We eat too much. Truth is, the physical realm is influenced by what happens in the spiritual realm. The best way I've heard spiritual warfare defined, you can take this down, write it down. Spiritual warfare is a battle between invisible angelic forces, and this is the key part. And I included this in this definition so that you could get this. Don't miss this. It's not just a spiritual war that happens between angels and demons. It's a spiritual war of the battle between angelic forces that affects you and me. It affects you and me. It has to do with what happens down here. It comes together. It's not just a separate thing. It's a battle between good and evil, which began when Satan was cast of heaven. The war was escalated, of course, later on to the Garden of Eden, where the first man, Adam, of course, received a near fatal blow. We know that. And, of course, sin enters the world, and that echoes throughout the history of God's people. And we're still in that battle today. And I'll talk more about that later on in the series. Go back to Daniel 10:13 for just a minute. I want you to notice something here. 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came and helped me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now they're fighting. Notice this. It takes an angel to beat an angel. You cannot defeat an angel of an evil force by yourself. You can't. Do any of you see angels right now? Like, are they, is there one around me? Or, you know, do you remember the movie? Was it Angels in the Outfield? Do you remember that? You see angels? If you see an angel, just do this, okay? If you've never seen the movie, that was from the movie. It takes an angel to beat an angel. You gotta hear this. It takes an angel to beat an angel. One of the reasons why you're not winning the spiritual war that you've been fighting for a long time is because you haven't invited an angel to fight on your behalf. You haven't gone to the king and said, fight this for me. I cannot fight this battle. I need you to fight it for me. This is why Paul says the war is not against flesh and blood. Stop fighting against one another. It is a war that occurs in a spiritual realm, and only spiritual things can defeat spiritual things. I'll give you one more verse of how the spiritual affects the physical. It comes from Job 2:6. Ready? This one's going to even maybe scare you a little bit, but watch this. All right, this is God and Satan himself having a conversation. Do with him as you please, God says. There are days I pray, Lord, just don't let the Satan do it as he pleases to me today. Satan, like, I'm a Darth Vader, if that's okay, I don't know, okay? All right? And Luke Skywalker, I don't know, we're going to call him God. Obi-Wan Kenobi, is he closer to God? I don't know. Okay, maybe Obi-Wan Kenobi is closer to God. I don't know. And these good, whatever sides you're on, okay? We're not having a whole rebel and real Star Wars conversation. I feel like I'm offending people right now. Just an analogy, okay? Just an illustration. But you have these good forces, and you have these evil forces. So you have the Federation, and you have the rebels. Am I right? I think I'm getting it. Yeah. And there's good things and these bad. And they're at war. Now, Satan and God are having a conversation. Do with him as you please. But spare his life. This is to Job. You can't kill him. But you can poke him. You can irritate him. You can annoy him. You can try to do. Now, this is really important. Watch how physical it gets. So Satan left the Lord's presence, and he struck Job with a terrible boil, disease. The spiritual realm affected the physical realm in such a way it affected the physical body. I am not saying every time you get a cold, it's from the devil. It may be because you didn't wash your hands. Do you understand? See how we can get real spiritual? Got a cold. It's the devil. Got to cast the devil out. Got a runny nose. No. just don't have good hygiene. That's why I got a cold. But we can't underemphasize it. Can I go hurt Job? Yes. You just can't take his life. Can I give him a disease? Yes. You cannot ignore it. You cannot say, doesn't exist. It's clear, crystal, clear. A Few Good Men movie, by the way. Crystal? Crystal. Struck Job with terrible boils from head to foot. And if you read through the story of Job, oh, it gets brutal. He lost his job. He took his money. He took his children. He took his spouses. I mean, it gets brutal, right? Because he had multiple wives. But it gets brutal. His family, his children, man. He was allowed to affect what happens in the physical by something that was preceded in the spiritual. Just want you to be aware of it today. That's all I want you to do. Be aware of it. Don't get lost in the question, why would God allow this to happen? Why would God do this? How, man, that's jacked up. Well, we'll actually discuss the answer to that later on in the series. You're going to come back and listen to it. It's going to give you the answer when we talk about next week, probably the history and the origin of this war, where it started, how it started, and why we're involved in it. But the goal today is just want you to be aware of the war. There are so many other examples where you'll find how what happens in the spiritual affects what happens in the physical. From the spirits of demonic powers taking up residence inside of people. Have you read this in the text? Jesus would walk around and cast demons out of people. I mean, demonic spiritual powers could take residence inside of a person's body. That's all New Testament. That's not like just Old Testament, okay? In fact, it even goes as far as to say that these demonic forces could enter farm animals. You ever heard of rooster like 6 o'clock in the morning or whatever, you know? That's a demon, if I've ever heard one. Why did I get up so early, man? You know, that's a demon, hands down. That'd be overemphasizing it, but you understand the point. Do you remember the story of the pigs? Yeah, the demonic, these demons went inside of pigs, and then the pigs, what did they do next? Committed suicide. When you get a demon in you, you're like, you know, I don't know what it's like, but I'm just saying. The pigs went to the water and they said, I don't want to live anymore. It's possible that people have contemplated or committed suicide, had a devil or demon influence inside of them. Sure. Yeah. People who get so depressed because of the attack of a demonic force. I'm not saying every depression is that way. I'm not. It could be just going through a tough season in your life. What I am saying is you can't ignore the possibility of it at all. And it's something we have to pay attention to. It's something we have to consider and think about. Demonic forces causing sickness both mentally and physically in people. This is New Testament, by the way. Make no mistake about it, there is a spiritual war that affects the world we live in. Now, here's the key truth, we're almost done. Key truth, write this down. There is a war in the spiritual realm. It's a reality. And you must be aware of it. And must know who you are to call on if you're going to experience a spiritual victory in your life. Okay? I want you to be aware of it. And you've got to know who you're supposed to call on. What do I do about this if you're going to experience a spiritual victory in your life? In fact, Scripture shares a story of a guy who was unaware of the spiritual realm, and because of it, fear overcame him. All because he did not see the spiritual side. He gave no legitimacy to it. Didn't see it, didn't know it, and so by default, fear overtook him. 2 Kings chapter 6, one of my favorite stories in Scripture. So one night, the king of Aram sent a great army with many chariots and horses to surround the city. When the servant of the man of God, This is a servant of the man of God. And there's this king of Aram who's sending his evil kind of plans to plot and kill and destroy. It says, the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and he went outside and there were troops, horses and chariots everywhere. And here's what he says. Oh, sir, what will we do? The young man cried to Elisha, the prophet of God. I'm looking around and we're surrounded by physical enemies. I looked out my window and there's a war in my front yard and it's physical and they are here to destroy us. We're dead. What are we going to do? It's a physical thing. I'm watching it unfold. I'm freaking out. Lost my job. Got no money. There is no hope for our marriage. There is no hope for my kids. Everybody's, you know, I don't know. Whatever that physical thing is. I can't get through this sickness. We're not going to be able to make it. How are we going to make it? Worry and fear, anxiety, depression. All this comes up, right? All he sees is the physical. That's all he can see, and fear is overtaking him. Elisha steps to the table, a man of God who knows the spiritual realm. And look what Elisha tells this young servant. Don't be afraid. You're so full of fear. And then he tells them, here's why you have so much fear in you. I don't know what you are afraid of. I don't know what it is, but just consider, go with me here for a minute. This man is afraid and terrified of a real truth, by the way. I mean, he's looking out the window and he sees the enemy. He's like, no, I see it. I'm looking at my paycheck. I'm looking at the amount. I'm looking at the situation. I got the doctor report in my hand. I'm seeing the facts. It's factual. We are surrounded. It doesn't look like we're going to win the battle. But Elisha says, but I see something you don't see. I see something. You don't see it yet. I see it. I'm aware of it. You're not aware of it. See, I'm trying to step in like Elisha and say, are you aware of this? Elisha says, don't be afraid. Because there's something you need to know. There are more on our side than on theirs. Now, I want you to notice something. I'm going to talk about this next week. When the war began, and there's these angels in heaven rejoicing before God, and then one angel named Lucifer starts to rebel, and he gathers some troops. It says 1/3 of the angels fell to earth, which means 66.6%, 66 times with a little line over it, repent, 2/3, who just lost me there in the math of that, 2/3 remained in heaven with Christ. But 1/3 went to follow the enemy. So since day one, the demonic forces have been outnumbered. So Elisha, who's aware of this, says, see, there's more on our side. We got 2/3. They got 33%, 0.3 times 3, but we got 66.6, but, you know, repeated. We've got more than they do. And you didn't know this, but I know this. Then Elisha prayed, because I know the secret to the battle. When I pray, I release the angels in heaven to come fight for us. See, you're freaking out about the marriage and the child and the finances and the sickness and all the stuff you want to see happen, but I know the answer. When I pray, I release the 2/3, and they're going to come swinging and wait till Michael steps up, arches over to him and says, watch out. So, and then he prays. Now watch this. I'm praying, but I'm not just praying to what's happening in the spiritual realm. I'm praying that your eyes would be opened. Oh God, let him see the spiritual realm. Because if he kept in, if he sees the spiritual realm, fear will go. If his only eyes would be opened, if you could just open their eyes and see the supernatural, they'll be set free in their marriage. They'll come to know the truth.
They'll come to know you. They'll come to know their creator, and they're just creatures. They'll come to know they're just dust before you, that without you, they're nothing. And whenever they see that, they'll know the power of the Almighty God. This is what he prays. Open his eyes. He just said one line. I overemphasized it a little bit. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. He responded. He heard the prayer. And when his eyes get open, when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. I think at that moment, he's like, y'all are messed. Y'all are screwed. Y'all don't even see it, but do you see what's behind you? Come on, because I got a whole army of angels surrounding my home. I got an army of angels surrounding my children. Why are you panicking about where your children are? I got a whole army. Somebody told me this one time. They said, man, don't you know where pastor kids end up? I said, I don't know where all pastor kids end up, but I know where mine are going to end up with Christ. And you know why I know that? And I'm serious. You know why I know that? I've already claimed them. Christ has them. And the devil cannot take them. And you can say, you don't know that. You don't know the future. I know who my God is. I know who their creator is. You say, I know. I see it. And I know I got more on my side. Wrap it up with this. Verse 18, he says this. As the army advanced toward him, Elisha prayed more. I'm going to keep praying. Oh, Lord, I love this prayer. I want you in the spiritual realm to inflict them in the physical realm. And I want you to make them blind. Wouldn't you love to blind somebody? come on, ladies, just think about you. Wouldn't you just love sometimes turn to your husband and be like, Lord, just make his knees weak today. Make him, I don't know what you would pray. But what if you had the power of light? I could pray in the spiritual that God would move in heaven, that angelic forces would be assigned, that all of a sudden we see the supernatural and the physical. It starts with the acknowledgement of what's happening in the spiritual, though, in order to make that happen. So he says, I'm going to pray that you make them blind. Blind them, Lord. And so the Lord did. And he struck them with blindness, just as Elisha asked. I just want you to be aware today of the supernatural. Here's the bottom line. Your first step towards spiritual victory is recognizing that you live in a spiritual war. Recognize it. Be aware of it. If you are not aware of this spiritual war, how can you defeat it? You cannot defeat the spiritual war if you're not aware of it. We must become aware of the spiritual war so that we can defeat the enemy who goes around on earth trying to destroy the advancement of the kingdom of God in our lives and the world we live in. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray with me that your eyes would be open, that the Lord of heaven would open your eyes and help you and help me to be aware of the war that is invisible so that we can experience the victory in the physical. Would you pray with me? Holy God, I know who you are. You're the creator of all things. Jesus, open our eyes. Let your people see the truth. And where the enemy comes and tries to convince them otherwise, I pray your truth would reign. Lord, open their eyes. Help them to see truth. Help them to pursue towards your greater plans in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.